Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 14. We're actually going to read verse 14 and verse 15 as our text. By the way, this will be the exact same text we'll use next Sunday, beginning today. Spilling into next Sunday, we have a two-part message. The first part is the pastor's ministry to his church. The second part, which is next Sunday, will be the church's ministry to their pastor. You really want to come next Sunday. I hope you're glad that you came this Sunday.
Amen.
But 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 14 and verse 15 are the two verses we'll use as a text in both of these sermon outlines. You notice it says here in verse 14, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Right here in these two verses, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to see that the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, by the way, who happens to be a pastor of a church, and he's trying to get Timothy to understand that there is a certain way that things are supposed to operate within the church. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Actually, as you look through all the New Testament books, you'll find various letters, that's how they began, that were written by different authors, many of them by the Apostle Paul, written to different churches. Some of them in individual cities, like Ephesus. Some of them in a region, like Galatia. But these letters that were written to these different churches by different authors, all as we read them are meant to give us a glimpse into how these churches were first of all structured and then secondly how they operated. Each of those churches had at least one pastor. If they were larger, they might have more than one pastor. But normally they would have a pastor. They would have some deacons. They would have some church members, of course, and people that would serve in various areas of responsibility. But today, we're going to talk about the pastor and his ministry and his responsibilities. And I want to bring this message to you that I hope will be an encouragement to you. God has a certain way that he wants the pastor to conduct himself and lead, you know, in the church family. And he has certain responsibilities. He has certain areas of ministry that he's supposed to be involved in. And hopefully, as we go through this, I'll be able to look back and say, I'm following that pretty close. If not, then I have some areas, of course, that I need to correct. But the pastor's ministry to the church, that's what we're going to look at today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the Spirit of God who teaches your word to us. Guide and direct, please, as we go through this outline. Help us all to listen carefully. The message is meant not just for me, but of course it's meant for all of us, so that all of us understand what is the pastor's responsibility, what is his ministry to his church family. And then, of course, next Sunday, just the opposite. How is the church family supposed to take care of and care for their pastor and minister to him? Please help us as we go through these two lessons or sermons, and may it be a real time of encouragement and blessing for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to start out with this thought. These aren't necessarily in order of importance, but as I think about the pastor's ministry to his church, I'm going to start out with his ministry of prayer. His ministry of prayer. We are going to look at some other verses today, so I hope you have your fingers nimble and ready to let your fingers walk through the Bible pages this morning. All right, let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 6, and verse 3 and verse 4. Acts chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4. In this particular chapter of the book of Acts, the church has grown to the point where they need to select some deacons. And they're going to select some deacons from the membership of the church. And I want you to see in particular what is written here in chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You notice that the writer is talking to the congregation and saying, you need to choose out from among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But verse 4, we will give ourselves, the pastor, or the pastors, because this was a larger congregation, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This is one of the reasons why I started out with the ministry of prayer, because the ministry of prayer is a ministry that every God-called pastor, I think, takes seriously and realize also how very important it is for him to pray for the ministry that God has given him. For instance, the pastor should be praying for the people and their needs. Most every congregation has people within it who have various needs. Some of those needs, of course, are physical. Some of those needs are spiritual. Some of those needs have to deal with perhaps a job or housing or maybe even food and clothing. Maybe some of those needs also have to do with family. You know, family issues come up from time to time within all of our lives. Sometimes, of course, those needs also represent spiritual things like maybe someone who's been coming to church for a little while and they are just visiting, but they're not saved yet. Or maybe somebody who's newly saved and needs to grow as a Christian. Or, you know, maybe somebody has even brought a need to the pastor about someone that they've been trying to minister to and try to reach for Christ and wanting the pastor to pray for that as a need of one of his congregation, one of his people. So the ministry of prayer involves praying for the people and their needs. But it also has to do with praying for the work itself, just the overall ministry of the local church and the work that they have to do and maybe the workers that they have and praying for those who are, for instance, deacons and serving in that very important position and maybe serving as a Sunday school teacher or maybe serving as someone who brings others to the congregation, to the church, and to the services, praying for the work and the workers. Maybe it involves those who are, you know, serving in the sound area or maybe in nursery or Sunday school or greeting or, you know, ushers or, you know, different responsibilities that different workers have within the church. The pastor prays for those and prays for those individuals who are involved. So he prays for the people and their needs. He prays for the work and the workers. Included in that, by the way, I didn't mention this yet, but even the missionary work that gets done through the prayers and offerings of God's people that we are allowed to support different missionaries. But praying for the people and their needs, praying for the work and the workers. And then I myself believe this one to be very, very important, praying for the will of the Lord to always be done. Praying for the will of the Lord to always be done. There are many, many times in the years that I've been in the ministry where God was not doing what I thought he, I almost said should do, but not doing what I thought he would do, or not doing what I thought and hoped he would do, okay? But there are also times where God was doing things that I did not even know he was doing, okay? Now, I could add other things to this, but praying for the will of the Lord to be done, okay? We don't always know what the will of the Lord is in some situations. Sometimes we do. Sometimes it's clearly spelled out in front of us, you know, by God's word. But to be real honest, there's many times in life where we're not really 100% certain what God's will is. But I do know this, God has a will and God has a plan, not only for your life and mine, but also for our church as a church family. God has a will for our church, and I want God's will to be done. It won't always match up with what you think or what I think. I know I've told you this a couple of times recently, and I just remind you about this again this morning because it's been on my heart a lot over the last 6 months or so. And the thought is this: God has reminded me personally several times, can you be faithful even though you're not seeing what you hoped you would see? Or can you be faithful even though you're not seeing what you've been praying that you would see? God's been really pressing that on my heart recently over the last 6 months or so. And I try to always respond with this thought back to the Lord: yes, Lord, I will do my best to be faithful even though I don't see what I hope to see, and even though I don't see what I've been praying that I would see. I'll try my best to be faithful regardless. You know, with some of the things that have gone on, without being specific, because I know this is being recorded and it'll be on the internet, but even with some of the things that have happened recently, I've asked the Lord, just between me and God, Lord, why? I don't understand. Why would you allow this to happen? And then, just very briefly, and I put it out of my mind as quick as I could, Lord, why would you allow this to happen? How much more can we take? But then again, it's God's in charge. And so, have you noticed this? He never does come to you and say, is this okay with you? I mean, he hasn't with me. He just does what he does. And I just, you know, I have to try to line my will up with his will. And so again, I'm just mentioning something quite personal to you about myself and my walk with God and how it relates to the church. Can you be faithful even though you're not seeing what you hoped you would see, and even though you're not seeing what you have been praying you would see? And so here's the thought again: praying for the will of the Lord to be done always. Praying for the will of the Lord to always be done. God's will is not always going to match up with ours. But if it is God's will, I have to be okay with that. I have to try to line up with that. I have to try to be satisfied with that. That's part of my prayer ministry as the pastor of this local congregation right here. Number one, he has a ministry of prayer whereby he prays for the people and their needs. He prays for the work and its workers. He prays also for the will of the Lord to always be done. Now, using this same text here in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, he also has a ministry of preaching. You notice what it said there in verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. To prayer and to the ministry of the word. This is all relating to the choosing of deacons. The deacons at this point in the book of Acts were being chosen because there were some widows that were being neglected by the church family and everybody that was in charge of the church family. And rather than the pastor or pastors at this time, because it's a larger church, concerning themselves with meeting the needs of those widows, they were going to select some deacons to do that kind of work and other more menial tasks within the work, so that it would free up the pastors to give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Okay? Now, one simple example, and maybe it's a great example, maybe it's not, but this last week we had a dumpster out here, and there were some folks who came to help empty out some of the stuff that was in the bus barn, and it needed to be gotten rid of. And by the way, you ought to, if you get a chance, just look at the bus barn. It's really nice and clean right now. You know, at least as clean as a bus barn can be. I don't know if I'd eat off the floors yet, but it's better than it was. I will tell you that for sure. And it's not nearly as cluttered as it was. And that's not only true of the bus barn, it's also true of the furnace room where the boiler is, and then a couple other areas too. And after the work was all done and so forth, my wife and I found a couple things that we thought, you know, there's still room in the dumpster. Let's just toss that in there. And so we did, and thankfully they took it all. But anyway, During the time when the workers were here, and some of those were deacons too, by the way, and some other church members, they were doing the work. What was I doing? Well, I was hiding. That's not really true. I was in the office, and I was working on some of what I'm giving you today, some of what you'll hear tonight, some of what, by the way, some of what I had prepared for this morning for Sunday school. We spent our time dealing with a whole nother situation, but I was giving myself to the ministry of the Word. Now, you might say, well, I think you should have been out there. Okay. I really needed to get this done, though. I'm pretty sure that when Sunday comes, you would rather have me up here prepared than having me, well, it was nice that he was out there with us throwing all that stuff into the dumpster, and now he's not prepared, you know. I have a responsibility to give myself to the ministry of prayer and to the ministry of the Word, and to speak the Word as God lays on my heart to give to you. I believe with all my heart that there needs to be faithfulness by the pastor to read and study God's Word. Faithfulness by the pastor to read and study God's Word. You should know this. In all the years that I've been in the ministry, I want you to know I do not get my sermons off the internet. I know pastors who do. I don't. I choose not to do that. Now, of course, with the invention of AI, I get emails all the time. I think every week, sometimes more than one per week. I don't even know where they're coming from. I just delete them. But I can get assistance from AI to write my sermons. I'm not going to do that. Why would I use artificial intelligence to help me when I can use God's intelligence to help me? To me, God's intelligence is so much higher than artificial intelligence. So why would I want to use AI to help me? But yet, I can guarantee you this. There are pastors who are doing that. Now, I understand, I'm not their judge. They're going to have to answer to the Lord. I'm leaving them to the Lord. I'm not trying to judge them in any way. I'm saying to you, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to use the internet. I'm not going to use AI. I am going to pray and ask God to lead me and guide me. You know, I'm not opposed to looking at commentaries sometimes. I have certain commentaries that I look at. One of the ones I really look at a lot and really appreciate and is Matthew Henry. Amen. Matthew Henry is a great commentary, and it was written many, many, many hundreds of years ago. But boy, he has an insight to some of those scriptures that you never saw that before. Okay? And then there's another one that's several hundred years more recent than that, that I also look at, that was written as a combination of different Bible scholars that put some of these thoughts together. And then I got to tell you this. I was watching a podcast. I think it was a week or two ago. I was watching a podcast a couple weeks ago, and this particular podcaster was talking about different, you know, things that are out there that we can use to try to study God's Word and try to decipher hard passages, difficult passages. And this particular podcaster was saying, I've got this question here that was written in by one of my viewers, and the question is written something like this. Could you tell me why in most of the commentaries all the difficult passages are not answered very clearly? You know what the podcaster said? I had to laugh when he said it. The podcaster said, you answered your own question when you mentioned the word difficult. He said the reason the commentators really don't have an answer to the difficult verses in the Bible is because they're difficult. And then years and years and years ago, I heard somebody say this. Always remember that commentators are just commentators. They're people just like you and me. And if you don't get it, they probably don't either. You know who does understand it? God does. God does. And so we ask him, again, it's not wrong to look at a commentary or, you know, look at some, you know, different Greek or Hebrew lexicon and try to figure things out that way or, you know, whatever. But there's going to be passages that we really don't quite understand. Now, God knows because he's the one that influenced the writer to write it, but pray and talk to him. And if he doesn't show you what it is, just do the best you can with it and move on. I mean, that's all you can do with it, really. Maybe someday he'll explain it. Maybe he won't. But the ministry of prayer and then the ministry of preaching, the Bible says this. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I know you know this already, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. We all know, right? 2 Timothy 2:15. Most all of us know this verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Most of us here, we know that verse. Many of us have memorized it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Good verse to memorize. Good verse to try to practice too, by the way. All of us. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This week, while I was studying, this thought popped into my head. Do you realize who that was written to? It was written to Timothy by the Apostle Paul. Timothy was the pastor of the church at the time. I think it was Ephesus, if I remember, but he was a pastor of a church at the time. And Paul wrote to Timothy and told him, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the thought I'm trying to share right here is this. That verse was originally given to the pastor. You know, they didn't have the internet in that day. They didn't have AI in that day. They didn't have a lot of tools that we have today. But I'm sure if they had all those things, the message would still have been the same. Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't just grab something off the internet. Spend some time. Spend some hours in preparation. Pray over the scripture. Ask God to give you guidance. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Now, like this last week, they were out there working, and then some of them, I'm sure, were sweating and but I was in the office and I was working, in a sense, over the scriptures and trying to use God's help and the Holy Spirit to prepare lessons for us and study materials for us and so forth. But this verse was given first to Timothy, who was a pastor of a local church. God's telling him here through the Apostle Paul, practice some diligence, practice some faithfulness, get into the Word of God, dig in there, read, study, prepare, get yourself prepared. I think this is so important too for the pastor. Read and study not just for your people, but read and study also for yourself. It's not enough for me just to read and study for you. I need to read and study for me. Believe it or not, friend, I have a walk with God too. And so I need to do that for me, just like I need to do it for you. So first, there must be faithfulness to read and study God's word. And then second, there also must be faithfulness to not only read and study, but then it turns right around to preach and teach God's word to the congregation. Let me show you another passage, if I may. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go there together. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Again, this is Paul writing to Timothy again. This is the second letter to Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Let's pause just for a minute. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. You know what that tells me? When they like it and when they don't. When it's popular and when it's not. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Look at this. Reprove, that's negative, isn't it? Rebuke, that's negative, isn't it? Exhort, that's positive. Well, I think you should always be positive. Really? It's not what the Bible says. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Look at this. With all long suffering and doctrine. But wait a minute, they're not practicing what I'm saying, what I'm preaching, what I'm teaching. They're not living it. They're not practicing it. I think I'll just give up. No, with all long suffering and doctrine. You notice that? Verse 3, for the time will come, I think it's here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I think you can apply that both to the hearers and to the teachers having itching ears. The teachers wanting to have their ears tickled, saying, you're doing such a good job, I really like your teaching. The people having their ears tickled, saying, you know, nothing that's ever offensive, nothing ever steps on their toes, always positive, you're okay, I'm okay kind of thing. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. He wants Timothy to know it's not going to be an easy road. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So the ministry of preaching, there must be faithfulness to read and study God's word, but there also must be faithfulness to preach and teach God's word to the congregation, which means teaching and preaching all of God's word, even if it's unpopular. I realize there are subjects and subject matter that in the world in which we live today, it's not going to be popular to touch on these topics. But if it's in the Word of God, it needs to be taught. It just needs to be taught. If people like it, that's okay. If people don't like it, that's also okay. The message that's brought from the pulpit needs to be, thus saith the Lord. This is what God says. Okay? Now, if the crowd gets smaller, the crowd gets smaller. If the crowd gets larger, the crowd gets larger. But remember earlier when I talked about the ministry of prayer, praying that the will of the Lord always be done. So, just proclaiming, thus saith the Lord, the ministry of preaching, faithfulness to read and study, faithfulness to teach and preach God's word. All right, so the pastor's ministry to his church. He's a ministry of prayer. He has a ministry of preaching. He also has a ministry of preparing. Preparing. Would you look with me at Mark chapter 3? Mark chapter 3. Let your fingers do the walking through the Bible pages. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Love to hear those Bible pages turn. That's beautiful, beautiful music to my ears. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he goeth up into a mountain, this is Jesus, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into and house. And the multitude cometh together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. I guess I could have stopped at verse 19 there. But anyway, I wanted you to see here that Jesus, in this passage, chose out from among many disciples that were following him, he chose out 12. 12 disciples. And he is the example to the pastor when it comes to the ministry of preparing others to carry on God's work. This ministry of preparing is preparing other people to carry on the work of God. Jesus chose out 12 special men. He did his best during the 3 years that he was with them to train them. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but If I follow the example of Jesus and he only was with his 12 for 3 years, I'd already be gone. I would have been gone so long ago, you'd have long forgotten about me already. I don't know about you, but after 3 years, I felt like I was just getting started. Now, there might be some, I don't know, who say, well, we kind of wish you would have left after 3 years. Didn't get a real positive response at that. But that's okay, because I'm trying to be faithful, even though I don't see what I hope to see. Please notice the smile. All right? Jesus chose out 12 special men who, and then did his best to train them. And he spent time with them and he poured his life into them. And then you know the story from the Gospels. Those 12 men, of course, Judas betrayed him. We know that. But they carried on the work that Jesus gave them to do. You know what the goal here is? And I think it's been true of every pastor you've had here. I know it is of me. That the work goes on after I'm gone. Now, I've talked to you about this before, but before I got here, Pastor Mickelson was here for 17 years. And that said several things to me. Number one, he was faithful. Number two, he had a good, long, extended ministry with you. Number three, he probably did his best to teach and preach, you know, God's word over those 17 years. And then, of course, there was 14 months in between him leaving and me coming. And during those 14 months, the deacons and the members just kept everything moving, which again said something about, you know, his ministry when he was with you and the other men who were before. But the work carried on. That's the thought. The work carried on. And I know, too, about our church's history, there's been a couple of other times where there were times in between where there wasn't a pastor and the work just carried on. You know what, friend? That's the way it's supposed to work. Does the church need a pastor? Oh, yes. That is God's will. The church needs a pastor. But when things happen like they did and the pastor wasn't there, and there's still deacons there and there's still good, solid church members there, the work should go on. And I'm very thankful to say this, and I know I've said it numerous times in the years I've been here, but I came in, I just sat down in the driver's seat, grabbed the steering wheel, and away we go. We were already heading on the right direction. I didn't have to change anything. I warn younger men all the time, when you go to a church, don't try to change everything right away. Don't try to change everything right away. That's silly. Just, you know, take your time and just let God lead, and first, especially for the first year, just go with what's there and just keep moving. Unless it's really radically wrong, just keep moving. But I can honestly say this in the time that I've been here, there's been so very little. Nothing really had to be tweaked. I realize there's a little bit of personal touches that hopefully we've been able to add, and hopefully they've been beneficial, but the church is just going forward, and I just happen to be the guy that's overseeing it right now, and I'm thankful. But the ministry of preparing, that's one of the things that the pastor has as a ministry. Here's a couple of other verses, by the way. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, you're familiar with this. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Again, Paul wrote that to Timothy, by the way. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Hopefully, as we meet together from week to week, it is like that. Me to you and you to me, iron sharpening iron. And we are all becoming more of what God wants us to be as we minister the Word of God together. Of course, it requires time, requires patience, requires understanding, requires prayer. The ministry of preparing. This is a ministry that the pastor has. Again, it requires patience and understanding and prayer. I remember being taught this also when I was much, much younger in the Lord and in the ministry. That when you go to a church, you should plan on spending at least 5 years, because it'll take you 5 years before the church really becomes what they say is yours. It'll take that long. So, sadly, those, and there's a lot of them in the world today, they leave after 2 or 3 years and move on and go somewhere else. How much can you really get done? How much can it really become yours? How much can God really knit your heart to them and their heart to you? Do you know this? And then I'm going to move on. But do you know this, friend? Especially those of you who've been with me most all the years that I've been here. Do you realize all the things that God has done that have knit our hearts together? And now I'm talking about things like, you know, marriages and births and deaths and difficult situations in life. Yes, highlights like our 50th anniversary services. I mean, we've had some high points, there's no doubt about that. But it's all those circumstances tied together that really knit our hearts together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. All things, the good and the bad, the things that make us laugh and rejoice and the things that make us cry and are like a gut punch, all work together to knit our hearts together as a church family. That can't happen without time and patience and understanding and prayer. It's all part of the ministry of preparation. The goal is to reproduce yourself in the lives of others so that the work of the Lord continues on. The pastor's ministry to his church is a ministry of prayer, preaching, preparing. Number four, protecting. Protecting. Would you look with me at Acts chapter 20? Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. I've got this point and one other. I'll try to hurry. I've kind of belabored some of this perhaps too long. But Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Here's the passage, Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 30. The pastor also has a ministry of protecting. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Lord described his work as a shepherd watching over and protecting his sheep. Well, Jesus, of course, is the chief shepherd. He has appointed an under-shepherd to tend the flock while he is away. That under-shepherd is the pastor of the church. One of the important duties of the pastor is to protect the flock from enemies sent by the devil. Have you noticed? The devil is alive and well on planet Earth. He's working overtime to destroy individuals and families and church families. He's working overtime. You notice that the Bible says in verse 29 that some of those enemies sent by the devil will come from the outside. That's verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So some of those enemies sent from the devil come from the outside, but some of the enemies, verse 30, come from the inside. Also of your own selves shall men arise. Notice, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. The devil doesn't care who he uses to destroy God's work. He may use somebody from the outside, but he might also use somebody from the inside. One of the ministries of the pastor is to protect the flock. This part of the pastor's ministry is not always understood. This part of the pastor's ministry is not always appreciated. But this part of the pastor's ministry is very, very necessary for the safety and protection of the flock. Because the devil is real, and he will do everything he can to destroy God's work. So the pastor has a ministry of prayer, preaching, preparing, protecting, and then here's the final one this morning, perfecting. Perfecting. And I'm going to ask you to turn to one more passage, Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. Ephesians 4:11 says this, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." The pastor has a ministry of prayer, preaching, preparing, protecting, but also perfecting. Perfecting. Perfecting the saints, trying to get them to grow up in the Lord. Trying to get them to become more and more like Christ. You notice the word perfecting here, it really is a word that has to do with helping you to mature, helping you to be equipped, helping you to be, you ready? Helping you to have every tool in your toolbox that you need to be what God wants you to be. That's the word perfecting. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This ministry of perfecting is done by means of prayer. It's done by means of preaching. It's done by means of preparing. It's done by means of protecting. And it's done until Jesus returns for us. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I hope you believe me when I tell you this. If the Lord returns today and I'm supposed to be here, this is where I want to be. If the Lord returns today and I'm not supposed to be here, then I don't want to be here. I want to be wherever I'm supposed to be. And Sarah knows this because she's my prayer partner. I pray about this constantly. We both do. Help us every day to know your will and to make sure that we're in your will. And if you ever want us to go somewhere else or do something else, make it clear and give us the courage to do that. But until you tell us otherwise, we're just going to keep doing what you've asked us to do. And believe it or not, he hadn't sent me any emails or texts. I haven't even gotten a psst, psst. Nothing like that. So, that's why I'm here today. Now, if he were to come back today, I'm assuming this is where I'm supposed to be. Why is that important? Because I have a responsibility before the Lord to do my best in this ministry of prayer, this ministry of preaching, this ministry of preparing, this ministry of protecting, this ministry of perfecting this church body right here. And if the Lord will help me to do it, I'm going to do my best to keep doing that one day at a time. I was telling some folks just not that long ago, boy, the rapture would sure fix a lot of problems. Obviously, you agree with me. I am looking forward to the rapture. But I tell you this, and I mean this with all my heart, I want to be found faithful when he returns. I hope you do too. And my encouragement to you this morning is let's all do our best, hand in hand, to just be found faithful when our Lord returns. God says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 4, that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Lord, help us to do that. Me as the pastor, you as the church family. Next week, I'll talk about you. You really want to come back next week. Today I'm talking about me. Next week we'll talk about you. Let's stand together Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, Lord. I think sometimes as you look down from heaven, you must almost think about yourself. Think about us to yourself, that we are a bunch of misfits. At least that's the way I feel sometimes. But thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for being long-suffering, compassionate. Lord, I believe I can speak for all of us today. I know I speak for myself and hopefully for all of us. We're trying our best, Lord. We want to please you. We want to honor you. And as a church family, we want to do our best to represent you well to the world around us. We want to protect your honor and your glory. We want to be a bright and shining testimony for you. And Lord, we ask that you'll mend this and mold this church family into one solid unit that loves each other and loves you and wants to do your will until you come for us. Please help me to do my part as the pastor and help the people to do their part as the church family. Bless us as we give this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.